Right now, time for our monthly visit with the Motley Fool. When the economy's in the dumps, one of the first assets you're likely to look at is your portfolio, that 401k plan at work, or the college fund you put into the markets. Or if you have questions about what to do with your investments in a shaky economy, how to protect yourself, maybe even make a little extra cash from the falling dollar, about trends or philosophies of investment, our number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. David Gardner is the co-founder of The Motley Fool and is in a studio at their headquarters in Virginia. And David, we also have to do a one-year wrap of my fantasy portfolio today, too. So nice to have you on the program, as always.
Thank you, Neil. Good to be here.
And we'll get to calls in a moment, but first, our usual word of caution. Neither David nor I will offer advice on whether to buy or sell any particular stock. We're talking about a fantasy portfolio with imaginary money, not meant to be financial advice and will not be a recommendation for or against any investment. And a good thing, too, because of that fantasy $10,000 we invested right now, I'm at $9,329.69.
Well, it hasn't been a great year, Neil, but you've got some things to celebrate. Again, we have to go back to your Apple computer call of a year ago. I think you made it around, well, 85, 90 today. Even though it's down substantially from its high, it's at 130. So you got that one right, and you even convinced me because I recently recommended myself. I really have to say Apple is one of the few bright spots on the market. Today, as you may have noticed, the company announced 10 million iPhones. They're promising still to ship that in 2008. So you have had some highlights.
The other big winner was ConocoPhillips, a well-managed company, we think, in an oil industry where prices are going through the roof. But nevertheless, some real stinkers, too. For example, Tempur-Pedic, my most recent purchase, was down 40%.
You know, and I've had some of those too. Who hasn't? That was a December move, I believe. And
yeah.
So here we are about to broach March. Hasn't even been 3 months, really. It seems unfair. But then again, there are so many good companies, and I think Tempur-Pedic remains one, that have had that kind of a thrill ride these last 3 months.
So anyway, next month what we're going to do is I'm going to take a look at my holdings and decide, well, maybe after a year it might be time to move some of my fantasy portfolio into other stocks. So we're going to talk about that next month. In any case, we got loads of questions about the economy in these conditions. And, just today the stock market is down again. The most recent flash I saw shows it down, 90 points on the day. So as these steady drumbeat of bad days on Wall Street comes in, it's hard to sustain your discipline, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, a year ago, we were talking about the subprime problems. They were just about breaking at this point. The news and some of those companies which are today out of business that were making those loans it was all coming to light right around now. As you know, that's spilled out into a bigger story about the real estate market overall, and it wasn't just small or banks or ones loaning to people that probably shouldn't have been getting loans in the first place, but rather more broadly. It started to affect lots of banks, and then there were some questions about hedge funds, which there always will be, I think, for the rest of our lives.
Yep.
And then today, Neil, it's about, is this economy slipping into a recession? And I guess my foolish with a capital F point about this is it's always funny how often that word is used, because there's very little group understanding of what a recession even is. Neil, not to put you on the spot, but do you know right off the top of your head what a recession is?
Declining growth, 2 consecutive quarters.
Okay, and you're an ace. Now, I guarantee you, though, if I were to buttonhole somebody on the street and ask him or her, do you know what a recession is? Most people, I don't think, would give that answer. That is the standard answer. And I just don't think that there's that much broad recognition of exactly what a recession is. So my antennae always go up when I start to hear a word bandied about so frequently that most people don't really understand. With that said, as you may have seen today, Neil, the government reported that the gross domestic product was scantily growing by the end of last year. These numbers are always 2 months delayed, and so it's sort of a funny thing. We all ask, are we in a recession? And we only hear 2 months later where we were 3 months ago. So it's about flat right now, isn't it?
Yeah, just about flat. And so we're going to have to see, economists disagree sharply about this, but again, we'll have to see. Here's an email we have from S. Vashai in Toronto. With more luck than brains, I sold my house at the peak in 2005, moved to Canada, but the house money is still invested in the U.S. Would you leave it there or bring it over to the border to invest in Canada, where there's no war in Iraq, no housing crisis, and no deficit? Seems like a no-brainer, but I'm no economist. Any advice?
Well, part of it for me would be a life question. How long has that emailer going to be staying in Canada, if it was a big move, I would probably tend to move my assets where I'm living or where I'm planning to. If it's temporary, I probably wouldn't make a big switch. Yes, you're right. The U.S. is a good example right now of a troubled economy, and there are a few others that are quite as troubled looking as ours. At the same time, we remain a very strong economy. Canada specializes in some of our favorite sectors right now. If you look at metals, oil and gas, railroads, some of the best stocks out there are actually Canadian. So I think every American should consider looking in that direction a little bit, even if you just buy an ETF. But as for whether to actually move all of your money into another country, I think it really comes down to how long are you going to be in that country.
A lot of people, though, are asking, you know, the loonie suddenly looks like a more stable currency than the dollar. Certainly, so does the euro. How do you make investments in those kinds of things?
Well, I think that, well, first of all, you can outright buy foreign stocks on foreign exchanges, and so that's always an option. I know that it doesn't look good right now for the U.S., but I do have a lot more faith in the U.S. economy and in our innovation and our ability to bounce back than maybe in the doldrums of a potential recession a lot of us feel. So I think it can be short-term thinking. While I know it's frustrating to see our currency deflate, it's also worth remembering there are benefits to that too. U.S. exports up markedly and surprising economists when that data came out this morning. So if we start looking at some U.S. companies that whose products are now being purchased more frequently abroad thanks to that lower dollar, you'll start seeing that there is some benefit to a weaker currency.
Let's get some callers on the line. This is Ann. Ann with us from Colorado.
Hi.
Hi, Ann.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am wondering, I have a substantial 401k plan, and I'm probably 15 years away from retiring. And I'm wondering if it's better, maybe since my investments aren't doing well, to borrow from my 401k and pay off my mortgage.
Yeah, and in general, Anne, I would not recommend doing that. We don't really like to borrow. If you're ever going to borrow against your 401k, I would suggest doing so in small amounts. A lot of people have gotten in trouble by doing that, especially in the last 2 years. And I just don't think it isn't an example of the fiscal prudence that we at the Motley Fool are trying to get our country to begin to adopt more frequently. So I'm sorry if that's not the happy answer, but to me, it's the serious answer.
Well, why would you be inviting trouble?
Well, if the value of your 401k declines, if you're borrowing too much from your 401k, some people are borrowing from their 401k to buy depreciating assets like a new car. There are lots of reasons that it's not at a broad mainstream level a good answer. That said, Neil, there certainly are exceptions. Have you done it?
Me? Oh, Ann, have you done it?
I have not done it, but I'm in a position now where I don't have much tax benefit because my mortgage is so small.
You're paying off principal rather than interest.
Like if I pay myself back at an interest rate, that maybe I would be better off since I'm not making money in the market right now anyway.
Well, I no strong feelings here. I mean, certainly with a lot of, it sounds like a lot of your mortgage is paid off. That changes the calculus a little bit.
It is. The mortgage is, you know, very small. So I just am trying to figure out a way to, not watch my investments go down. And I thought that might be a way to, if I ended up debt-free and paid myself back, that maybe in the long run I would do better.
Well, I'm somebody who doesn't necessarily hasten to pay off mortgage debt, especially if it's at a lower interest rate. But I understand. And I think for a lot of us, if it is a substantial question, that is, if it's something that would cause you to lose sleep at night or let's say six figures are involved, at that stage, I really would encourage you to look at a financial advisor and just think through the numerical implications of doing that. Fee-only financial advisors are our favorites of the Motley Fool. They're the people that you just pay by the hour. They're not trying to also sell you on their 401k plan.
Okay.
But it sounds like you may be in the latter stages here, Ann, and I'm not necessarily going to dissuade you strongly because it sounds like you've got a better head on your shoulders than most people who ask us that question at the Motley Fool.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks for the phone call, Ann. Bye-bye. Let's talk now with Giovanna. Giovanna's with us from Kansas City in Missouri.
Yes, hello, Neil. I love your show.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so nice of you.
My question is regarding our 401ks and IRAs. We have five, I follow them pretty close, and since September, we have lost quite a amount of value on our accounts. The only ones that, the only funds that are doing good are the international based funds.
Mm-hmm.
And would it be convenient to just move the funds, the ones that are not doing good, into a money market funds until the market stabilizes a little better?
Well, the problem with that, Giovanna, is that it's hard to sometimes know when that's going to happen. And if there were a magic bell that rang to let you know the market's about to turn around, then you'd probably make the right decision. But mm-hmm. I think most of us have done well by simply remaining invested in the 401k. After all, it is a long-term plan. You are going to be invested, I assume, in the stock market with a portion of it. Sounds like you are. And you have to mm-hmm. understand that 1 year out of every three, the stock market historically has declined. Historically, very few people have proven real consistent ability to predict which one of out of every 3 years that will happen. And so I think we make mistakes when we start to try to time our way into and out of the market, even in a 401k plan, moving between, let's say, an index fund that invests in stocks and then the money market fund, as you mentioned. So I have to say, nobody likes to lose money. I certainly don't. I bet I've lost more in percentage terms than you have, because I'm invested in more aggressive growth stocks and probably always will be over these last 3 months. So that nobody likes that. And psychologists tell us the pain of loss is three times the joy of gain. So we always feel it a lot harder when things go down. But with that said, I do believe that if you are at least, let's say, 10 years away from retirement, and most of us are, I would recommend that you just stay invested and keep saving. The biggest challenge is to keep saving and adding for most of us month in and month out.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck, Giovanna.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks so much for the phone call and for your kind words. We're talking with David Gardner of The Motley Fool. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And David, I did want to ask you about a news item we saw this week. IBM announced that they're going to be buying back millions of dollars worth of their own stock. What does that generally tell you about the company when they're deciding to do that?
Well, every company has a bank account like you and I have, Neil, and so the company has a decision what it wants to do with that money in the account. And the two primary decisions that they make are, number one, let's reinvest it in our business. Let's come out with the iPhone. Let's make some new products and get it out there. Or number two, if they feel as if an even better investment of some of those dollars might be in buying back their own shares, they can do that. Of course, a third option is many companies will pay a dividend out of its bank account to its shareholders as well. Now, companies specifically that decide to buy back shares, we generally favor at The Motley Fool. Why? Because the fewer shares out there, the more ownership of earnings and the future of that company by those shareholders that have retained their shares. So when all of a sudden a company that, let's say, had 100 million shares outstanding decides to buy back 10 million of those, now you only have 90 million shares outstanding. If you still have your same 100 shares, well, you now own a greater part of the company's pie, of its earnings as they come out every year. So companies that have enough cash in the first place, that have positive cash flow and can buy back their shares, end up, in many cases, being the best companies to hold for the long term. So I'm not a big follower of IBM either way. Those really, really big companies like that, Walmart, others, don't quite interest me as much because they don't feel as if they'll be good growth stocks over longer periods of time. I prefer to look at companies that, say, have a market cap of $50 billion, not $200 or $300 billion, $50 billion and lower. So a lot of the companies in the Neil Conan portfolio we've talked about fit that kind of mid-cap strategy that you've been deploying as well. So as far as IBM, I'm not excited or not by the stock, but I do like share buybacks.
Well, nice to know I had a strategy. I didn't know that before. Let's talk now with Mary. Mary's with us from California.
Oh, hello. My husband and I are seniors, and he's semi-retired, works part-time. I'm totally retired, no income. We have currently $20,000 in a matured account we had that is just sitting there. My question is, should we take that amount of money and pay off all of our credit cards, which amount to just about that much money, or should we reinvest it, and if so, in what?
At what rate is your credit card interest?
Oh, they vary. We have Visa, we have MasterCard, we have Macy's, we have Mervyn's, we have Home Depot. So I think Home Depot is the highest. Probably 10 or 19%.
And what would be the lowest?
Lowest credit card rate.
That's right.
Probably the Visa, 5.5, I think.
Okay, so I would make haste quickly, not slowly, as Erasmus once suggested, but make haste quickly to pay off anything that has an interest rate of 10% or more. For anyone listening, regardless of whether you're a retiree or a student, a young person, I would suggest that you pay off all credit cards in full all the time that have double-digit interest rates. It's just, well, it's just prudent, because when you think about it, the stock market, which is generally the best mainstream investment vehicle available to all of us, has a historical rate of return annually of 10%. So if you're borrowing and having to pay back money at 10% and hoping to invest, you're about neutral, and you're sweating it, by the way, when you're at a 10% interest rate. If your credit cards are charging you more than that, get out.
Okay.
Good luck, Mary.
So it's great, Mary, to have that $20,000 sitting there, and yes, spend as much as get rid of that Home Depot debt fast.
David, as always, thanks for being with us. And again, we'll be back next week and reevaluate that fantasy portfolio. Oh, boy, Tempur-Pedic, what a pick. That Sirius stock isn't doing so much great either. Anyway, David Gardner is co-founder of The Motley Fool, our money pal every month. Again, you can follow my fantasy portfolio online. The link is at npr.org/blogofthenation. If I can take the bad news, so can you. David, as always, thanks very much. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.